Pacifico, Phil Henry.
All right, welcome back. Here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We just watched a video. Did you see that?
Yeah, it's the nicest thing I ever saw.
Well, I don't know. I think that... Margaret, just don't say anything, okay? This was the most beautiful little video.
Oh, I'm not allowed to give my opinion.
Yes, you can, but you're going to make yourself look really bad. This was a beautiful video. We just showed it on Phil TV. It was a Portland, Oregon police officer who was speeding after a speeder. He was chasing a guy who he had clocked in excess of the speed limit. And all of a sudden, and the video was enhanced by the Portland Police Department. They put some exciting music and et cetera and so forth to sort of make it fun to watch on YouTube. Because they had released the video for a reason, to show the human side, I guess, of police officers. What happened was this Portland traffic cop is chasing this guy on a rainy day, and all of a sudden comes upon, if you're ready for this, a family of ducks.
See, I think that's irresponsible.
What, you gonna have him run a duck over? Guy, why don't you get Ted Bell back on? He the man ran the duck.
See, listen, did you just hear that?
Margaret, you're on the wrong side of this, okay? So just be quiet. I'm telling you, I'm trying to give you a helpful hint here. By the way, in a minute.
See, look at how nervous you are. In a minute,
David G. Hall joins us on the topic of younger women, older men, and who's spending whose money. Because, frankly, we think David is in a world of hurt with the girlfriends. You know, how many has he had this past 3 weeks?
It's the same girl, but she's got, like, I think 15 different names.
Yeah, sure.
Well, what are you saying?
I think you know what I'm saying. I think it's more than one girl. Anyway, so to wrap up the story of the ducks, the Portland police officer chasing this speeder.
Well, he's chasing the ducks.
He was chasing a speeder.
But he wound up chasing the ducks.
Don't get me confused now. He was in his car chasing a speeder. You don't chase ducks.
Well, no, you don't chase ducks. That's the point we're trying to make. A lot of people probably might think.
What? What did you just say?
I said, Mr. Henry, that telling that he was chasing a speeder, if he's in a car chasing after ducks.
He was not chasing ducks. How fast do you think a duck can run?
Pretty damn fast. If a cop can't catch him. Whoa!
Now, God, I hate you, bud, when you laugh like that. So the cop stops and he shoos this cute little family of ducks off the road, allowing the speeder to get away. But the Portland police released the video to show that, you know what, we do have a human side, and look at what this officer did. You know, there's more and more of these videos that are coming out about police officers doing these nice things, and I think they should. Because I think cops all too often get nothing but a bad rap. And generally, the people that are talking crap about cops have had a lot of run-ins with cops. And generally, they've had a lot of run-ins with cops. Why? Because they're law-breaking scum. That's why. So we're basically forming our opinion about cops based upon the opinion of law-breaking scum. Thank you.
Hey.
Cut. Now, so this guy, you know, and then another one they showed of a guy doing some sort of a weird-ass breakdance in the garage of the Portland, was it called the Harlem Shake? He was doing it in the garage of the Portland police, and they gave him a ticket and hauled him off to jail, which I also think was fantastic.
Yay!
All right. 877-876-PHIL. So, Margaret, I'm sorry that I didn't let you hold forth on why that officer was not doing his duty as it pertained to ducks, or excuse me, speeders, but I think it was better, don't you, that he stopped and he shooed the little ducks away.
I think it's cute, but it is not why we hire our police.
So you want to see the duck get crushed?
I'm not answering that question because that's a loaded question. I'm simply saying...
Whoa, wait. What do you mean a loaded question?
He said, do I think the police officer should crush duck? I'm not crush... Should have crushed the duck.
There's a family of them, is the whole point. There's a mother duck and a children duck.
The ducklings.
The what?
The ducklings. That's what they're called. Duckling.
Duckling. I don't know him. I wouldn't know him.
It's not a he. Are you going to step in or do I have to do something?
Bud, duckling is the term for baby duck, okay?
All right, so I said children duck in order to make it more human.
It's not human, it's duck.
Well,
I agree with Bud, and not you, Margaret. In this instance, that police officer, there was a speeder, yes, but had he run after that speeder, and ignored the ducks, it would have shown a kind of a callousness. I don't know. I mean, if that speeder went on to kill some people...
Ah, now you're looking at things my way.
All right, well, you may have a point. If that speeder down the road killed human beings, then I suppose hindsight being 2020, I would have to say you're right. But I guess that didn't happen.
Yes, and you're lucky that it didn't happen. But if that speeder had killed a family, had killed a woman and her children, had run over a female with a baby in a stroller instead of a duckling, my God. I don't even want to consider what would have happened then.
Well, let's go ahead and look at this. If that speeder gets away, as he did, and the officer stops to shoo the ducks, but the speeder continues on and hits a woman pushing a baby carriage, killing both the baby and the mother. Now, that becomes the big story of the day in Portland. The officer that was chasing that man, who stopped to shoo off some ducks, would be indicted, not necessarily legally indicted as a criminal, but he would be indicted in the press as being a brainless, duck-loving imbecile, and he shouldn't be a cop, he should be working for PETA.
There you go, and now you see my point. That's exactly what we would be calling that police officer. We wouldn't be thinking of him as a nice guy or a duck lover. And, you know, in some parts of this country, calling someone a duck lover is going to get you shot. And I mean right through the eyes.
Well, you're saying that like you know something about it.
I do. I'm from Pennsylvania. And my father hunted, and my uncles hunted, my grandfather hunted, and some of them even hunted duck. I'm kidding. Yes, no, they were duck hunters. They hunted a lot of different things. They hunted moose and what's the one with the antlers?
Reindeer.
Not reindeer, you jackass.
Deer.
Deer, yes. And if you were to call my father a duck lover, don't let the sun set on you.
Wow, what a charged thing to... What do you mean, don't let the sun set on you? What's that supposed to mean?
Just exactly what I said.
Hey, man, you're a duck lover.
Yes, because in that part of the country, it's the same thing as calling someone an N lover in old days.
Wow, are you putting me on? I'm sure, hey, you're a duck lover. Don't let the sun set on you.
That's right.
By the way, I saw not for nothing, and we'll get David Hall here in a minute. I saw a very interesting story, Unsolved Serial Murders. One of the unsolved serial murders is the a killing of people at night in this Arizona town, I think, in the 40s. And it is the town upon which the movie, The Town That Dreaded Sundown, I think. You know that movie?
It rings a bell.
There's a movie called The Town That Dreaded Sundown. It was made in the 60s or 70s. It's based upon this true story of a serial killer that stalked this town after... the sunset, and there was a sign that said, "Don't let the sun set on you." In this town, I'll look it up during the break. We've got David G. Hall hanging, in just a moment.
Shouldn't say hanging, Phil. We're talking about the sundowners and duck lovers.
Duck lovers? What's that got to do with anything?
I don't want to say, but if you were perceived as a duck lover in my part of the country, in Pennsylvania, they might find you hanging from a tree.
Oh, would you get out of here?
I'm not kidding.
They really love their duck hunting there, huh?
Don't make a joke out of it, bud. It gives me chills.
Oh, get out of here. They find you hanging from a tree because you're a duck lover. All right, we're going to come back with David G. Hall and Enough of This Falderall. David G. Hall and Enough of This Falderall. David G. Hall.
Enough of This Falderall. David G. Hall. That's pretty good.
All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth. He's our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
You ruined it.
No, I didn't. I made it better.
You ruined it.
I made it.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And David G. Hall, who is at Ted's of Beverly Hills. David, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Phil. We're going to get seated here. I've got Daphne's with me tonight, and we were just talking to Ted Bell here just a moment ago, wherever he is.
You wanted to discuss this post.
I do, and I'll tell you, the reason why I wanted to talk to you about it, Phil, is simply this. I'm not trying to tell you how to live your life. Hey, Ted, how you doing?
Hey, you're on the air right now.
I'm on the air with Phil right now, yeah.
Let me find a table for you. Hey, table three.
The reason why, Phil, is, and I'm not trying to tell you how to live your life, okay? So please don't think that I am. But I am, hi, how you doing? Let me get seated here, okay? Hey, you. I want a couple of glasses of water. Give me a, what do you want, baby? And a gimlet for her. And, I'd like...
Hey, David, I'm on the air.
Sorry, give me a, just... Right, thanks. All right, so, what I'm saying is this. I don't want to tell you how to live your life, but when you post something like that about guys getting taken by younger women because they might have a couple of bucks, you know that I've been dating Daphne now for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, why doesn't she have the same name? Every night there's a different name.
Yeah, because she's got nicknames. Please don't press me on that, okay?
Well, all right, that's fine.
Because that's got nothing to do with anything. Because she's here, and I know that she loves me. If I thought that she was trying to take advantage of me for my money, and if I also thought that she may have another boyfriend on the side, like you suspect this other one of having, I would be very upset. I'm not responsible. You wouldn't do that, would you, honey? I wouldn't be responsible for myself.
See, that's crazy talk.
All right. Well, I didn't mean that. I think you need to give some people the benefit of the doubt. I think you need to give her the benefit of the doubt and just be the kind of individual, you know, that, you know, so she's trying to make a living.
Fine. She can make a living. She can make all the living that she wants to make. She ain't going to make it on my back. And she's not going to treat me like she's probably treated 90% of the men in her life, okay? She's probably got older guys as boyfriends, and then she's got some young dude that she decides she's going to have sex with, and the older guys are just going to have to make do with giving her money and being happy with having her face around? You got to be kidding me. That ain't going to happen.
What are you saying? I'm nuts?
I'm nuts. You can do whatever you want to do, man. I'm just telling you, if you're settling for that, yeah, you are nuts.
Hey, Daphne. When are we going to have sex? See, she said pretty soon.
Yeah, get out of here. Pretty soon. All right, welcome back to the program, folks. 877-876-PHIL and the world-famous Phil Henry Show, David D. Hall. What did I just say?
You said David D.
David G. Hall, my farbulous partner. By the way, at philhenryshow.com, you find the worldwide, the internet headquarters of the Phil Henry Show. And online at philhenryshow.com, we have nightly streaming video of our show. So right now, as I sit here before the beautiful El Pacifico, I'm holding up my iPhone, which has the mobile picture of our show. And you can access our show either on the desktop, on your mobile device, whatever it may be. And you can access it anytime you'd like. You can watch it live as it's happening, or you can watch it, as we say, on demand. It's your decision. And with your $9.99 a month, you not only get that, you get the daily podcast of our radio show, which is there for your download the next day. You get our daily classic podcast, which is a podcast of one of the archived pieces of material. You have all 5,000 hours of full radio shows going back over a decade of the Phil Henry Show, different generations of the Phil Henry Show. And you also have our webisodes, which are animated features that were done for us by Stephen White. You have the Milwaukee Lion podcast. You have all kinds of miscellany, including interviews that we've done, television as well as radio, and TV pilots that we produced. So it's there at philhenryshow.com, and this month is Customer Appreciation Month. So, Bud, tell them what they get.
Yeah, Customer Appreciation Month.
Don't yell at you.
I mean, Customer Appreciation Month is...
Here, let me do it. Customer Appreciation...
No, I got it. Customer Appreciation Month, on the first month, you get $9.
Give me that. I can't understand anything anybody's saying. Customer Appreciation Month...
No, Customer Appreciation Month...
I'm going to do it. Customer
Boy, I'll tell you, you guys... There isn't a mental illness.
I'll do it. Customer Appreciation Month.
I'm going to lose it.
Take it easy, Margaret. Customer Appreciation Month is this month, and what you get if you sign up for 1 month Backstage Pass is one free Best Of download from our shop. If you sign up for a 6 month Best Of, or a 6 month Backstage Pass, you get three free Best Of downloads from our shop. And if you get a 1 year Backstage Pass, you get five free Best Of downloads. Now, when we say Best Of, we have the Best Of Bobby Dooley, the Best Of Ted Bell. We also have our legacy CDs that are there online as well, digital, as well as you can purchase the hard copy of the actual artwork, the CD case, the whole damn thing. When I was in Tampa, Bubba the Love Sponge, the great Bubba the Love Sponge, was showing me some of the merchandise he has, and he was showing me the Best Of CDs that he has, and he still produces them hard copy in the packaging, and they're beautiful, too.
Yes, well, I saw the, he has a double CD, right?
He's got a double CD, and it's a beautiful thing, and on top of everything else, you know, he's selling it like hotcakes because people like those. They're kind of mementos, you know, they're historic, and they're very cool things to have. So whatever you do, and however you do it, and for whatever reasons you do it, make sure you get yourself a Backstage Pass to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, here's a real weird-ass story. Dying man's eye blinks lead to Ohio murder conviction. An Ohio man was found guilty Thursday of fatally shooting a man who authorities say identified his assailant by blinking his eyes while paralyzed and hooked up to a ventilator.
Well, that's like those movies.
Yeah, a lot of movies have this kind of this goofy kind of thing. A jury convicted Ricardo Woods, age 35, of murder and felonious assault for the death of David Chandler, who was shot October 28, 2010, as he sat in a car in Cincinnati. Police interviewed the 35-year-old Chandler after he was shot in the head and neck. He was only able to communicate with his eyes, and he died about 2 weeks later. Woods had no obvious reaction to the verdict on the third day of jury deliberation as it was read in Hamilton County Common Pleas Court, but as he was being led to jail, he said, "I'm innocent." Woods' sentencing is set for June 20th. He faces up to life in prison. During the trial, jurors viewed the videotaped police interview that prosecutors say showed Chandler blinking three times for yes to identify a photo of Woods as his shooter. The defense had tried to block the video, saying Chandler's blinks were inconsistent and unreliable. That's what I would... I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but that would be what I would think to do. You know, are you kidding me?
Yeah, but yeah, what are you talking about? Everybody knows you if you blink two for yes and one for no.
What do you mean everybody knows if you blink two for yes and one for no?
Well, that's how they do in the movies.
Yeah.
Well, this ain't a movie, man. This ain't a movie, okay? What do you mean everybody knows?
That's what Bargain asked.
Yes, what do you mean everybody knows?
Yeah, because that's what they do in the movies.
All right, we're going to say this again. We've already done that once, all right? And I'm telling you that while it sounds like a really good movie plot, I would, if I were the defense attorney, I'd say the same thing. What are you guys, are you high? Some guy blinking? Let's see the videotape. And you look at that, you could rip that to shreds. Rip it to shreds. So the defense has made the statement that it's inconsistent. Defense attorney Corey Jackson said Thursday there would be an appeal. "We're disappointed in the verdict. We have said since the beginning that the video should not have been allowed into evidence." Jocelyn Chess, an assistant county prosecutor, said the justice was served. They looked at all the evidence, and the evidence showed that Ricardo Woods was guilty. Judge Beth Myers, who ruled the jurors could see the video, said Chandler's identification was made by pronounced exaggerated movement of the eyes. A doctor who treated Chandler later testified that Chandler was able to communicate clearly about his condition using the eyelids. So what they're saying then is that he communicated about things other than just who shot him. He communicated about things having to do with, you know, his care.
His eyes.
Sure. What do you mean his eyes?
Yeah, what do you do? Hey, how do your eyes feel? Oh, real good, you know.
Yeah, that's stupid, man.
I didn't say about his eyes. I mean about just regular stuff. So that's why they... by the way, I read a quote today. This was stated by a murderer who was on her way to the death chamber at the time. Her name was, I think, Barbara Graham, and she was the subject of an old movie called I Want to Live. But anyway, she made the following statement. "Good people are always sure they're doing the right thing." And when she made that statement, it made it into the news. And it caused a lot of people to second guess whether she was guilty or not.
And when we come back, because I can hear that we're going into a commercial.
So you better think fast.
I will tell you more about what that all means right after this on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Thank you. Harvey Wireman has joined us very briefly. I know we've got a number of things on the agenda here, but Harvey, you're also at Ted's, huh?
Yeah, I came in. I stopped in to have a late meal, and the place is pretty crowded. I just saw your friend there, Hall. He's across the way.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, Harvey, and thank you very much for taking our call. I didn't know you were eating. Are we interrupting you?
No. Ted's getting me my seat. Hey, Ted, how you doing?
Hey, you but Henry's calling my... Hey, Phil.
Hey, Ted, how you doing?
Listen, all your favorite people are here tonight, huh?
You know, Ted, I want to...
He's gone now. He's gone. You want me to get him?
No, never mind. I wanted to ask him how late he serves on weeknights.
Hold on. How late do you serve, Ted?
Huh?
How late do you serve?
What?
The dinner. How late do you serve on a weeknight?
Oh, yeah. We serve at midnight.
Midnight.
Wow, that's pretty cool. That's pretty late, isn't it?
Yeah, that's I think the thing about Ted is that he understands people are hungry all the time. He doesn't stay open, 24 hours. But here he is again.
Yeah, give me the both of it. Hey, Phil, it's Ted.
Yeah.
You know the guy that ran the pantry downtown Reardon. You know he ran for it. He became the mayor of L.A. You know he was 24/7. That place never closed from the 30s, right? Until finally they couldn't stand it any longer, and they said, "Would you close it for God's sake? Just close it, even though the food's good."
He's gone again.
What? He's just coming by and yelling into the phone.
Well, he has got a customer. Ted's always on the move, you know. He's got...
Who are you with tonight?
I'm by myself, actually. I drove over here, because I've got a meeting in the morning in Century City, so I'm staying at the hotel over here. And here he comes, sir.
What I'm saying, Phil, is you got to have, 20. So that guy wouldn't close. I said, would you close that restaurant? He said, well, the food's good. People expect it 24/7. And I said,
I'll drop my phone, okay?
What is he doing?
He's coming. When he has a minute, he comes over.
And so I told him.
Hey, Ted.
That's what they wanted to do.
Hey, Ted, don't drop my phone, okay?
I don't want to talk to him, okay? He keeps coming over, half conversation, then he runs.
Oh, that's Ted. So what did you want to talk to me about?
All right, the thing I wanted to talk to you about is this case in, I believe, Cincinnati, where a man was convicted of the murder of another man on evidence given by the victim before he died. Now, the evidence... was the man blinking? The evidence was delivered by way of the guy blinking because he was paralyzed.
Well, so what's your question?
I mean, have you ever heard of such a thing? And wouldn't you, as a defense attorney, tear into that?
Well, you're gonna tear. You want to do the everything that you can. But I've got a. Let me read something to you. This is from a case study that I had my look. I had one of my clerks pull this out. And this is from 19. What's the one that looks like a 3? Oh, 5. 1957.
What do you mean the one that looks like a 3?
What'd you say?
Never mind.
And in this case, this guy's name is Boodle Boobumnu. Newman Boodleman. I'm sorry. I got the wrong chart here. I got an African. I'm looking. I'm also had an anthropology. There's a case involving the etymology of never mind. But so this guy's name was Newton Boone Martin. And what he did was he had been shot and wasn't dead yet. and he couldn't move anything except his hand. He could flap his hand. And they said, "Who shot you?" And he batted out the guy's name in Morse code because the guy had been a signalman in the military.
Newton Boodleman.
I don't know what is. Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Yes, sir, I am. I'm sorry.
Okay, you're getting hung up on his name. He's flapping out the name of the guy by using Morse code with the right hand. And they said, okay, that's the first. The guy got out the first name, I think, was something. And the name was a big, long name, you know, like Wolfgang. And they said to him, geez, you know, what's his last name? And he got to the third letter before his hand cramped, and he couldn't move it, so they had to give him a hand massage. And finally, the name was Wolfgang Kugel, is what came out. Now, I know this name, Wolfgang Kugel, because he was a partner of mine, a legal partner of mine, when I was practicing law in New York. And I said, are you sure this is the same Wolfgang Kugel that gutted and hung these people upside down in a barn? And not Ed Gein, but a similar case. And they said, well, that's what he said. And I said, I think the hand cramp, it could have been Wolfgang anything. Wolfgang, and they said, well, it starts with a K. I said, what about Wolfgang Plauderman or Kai? You know, it could be anything. So the judge said, that sounds good to me. But he didn't have anything to do with it because it was a jury trial. But, you know, the judge allowed me to say, you know, I was allowed to say, hold on for a minute.
What are you guys talking about?
I'm on the air with Phil right now, Ted, okay?
What did he want?
I don't know. So the judge said, sounds good to me, but you better get in there and, you know, because there's a jury. I said, okay, so why are we here in chambers? And he said, just, you know, because he didn't really know. So we left, and I said to them, Wolfgang Clownhouse or something. Well, you know, it starts with a K, and his hand cramped, and so the jury acquitted my client.
So the jury, who was your client, by the way?
My client was Wolfgang Kugel, okay? But the jury didn't buy that this guy had tapped his name out right because it was a weird name and his hand cramped up, see?
Wait a minute.
Not wait a minute. Yes.
You said you remembered who Wolfgang Kugel was because he was a former partner of yours.
Yes, and then I realized it was the guy I was defending. He was sitting right there behind me. And I went, oh, you're the guy. And
okay, thanks a lot.
Well, listen, Phil, I'd like people to join me tomorrow.
All right.
Oh, that poor man.
Oh, well, no, there's nothing poor about it. That's Harvey Wireman, ladies and gentlemen, as he's talking about whatever the hell he's talking about. All right.
Well, what's he talking about?
Wolfgang Kugel shot some guy, and the guy's hand batted out the name Wolfgang in Morse code, but he only got halfway out with the second name because the hand cramped up. I don't know. Now, moving on, I wanted to mention this one quote. Good people often think they're doing the right thing. And this was a quote. This was the last thing said by Barbara Graham before they put her in the gas chamber in California, and rightfully so. She was a sadistic, dirty, filthy old murdering woman that suddenly got a lot of public opinion behind her because, oh, well, you know, she's a wronged woman and what a tough life she had and all this. What fed a lot of this was this marvelous quote that was recorded by a writer who went on to write the story of her life, I Want to Live. And he said that the last thing she said was, good people often think they're doing good things or the right thing. Good people often think they're doing good things. Now, I got to thinking about that, you know, especially when it comes to the law. And that good people don't often think they're doing good things. Good people often think they're doing the wrong thing. If you think about it.
No, I don't understand.
If you're good people, the kind of good people that I know are people that are always second-guessing themselves. They're always wondering, are they doing the right thing or the wrong thing? They're always worried. Are they serving the cause of justice? They're always, second-guessing. For instance, in our system of law, there's this thing called reasonable doubt. Why? Because we're never sure. We're never really sure. If good people are never really convinced they're absolutely right, this is the absolute truth, when it comes to the life of somebody, you know, when it comes to this kind of a thing, that's why we allow for this thing called reasonable doubt, because
a human being who is trying to do the right thing, who has a conscience, who is wants to make sure that they're serving the interest of justice, they're always going to have some kind of a doubt. So that's why we have this idea of reasonable doubt, you know, and we give ourselves the leeway of well, we're going to have doubts, but at the end of the day, we're as close as we're going to get to the truth. And I thought, boy, how can you get conned by a statement like that when somebody says good people often do often think they're doing good things? Good people don't often think they're doing good things. Good people often think they're doing the wrong thing. Good people often think they're making mistakes, you know?
Well, I mean, so are you saying a bad people?
You're saying that bad people often think they're doing good things.
I'm saying it's more likely that a bad person is sure of themselves than a good person. A bad person, i.e., let's say a psychopath, is absolutely convinced he's right. Oh, well, I mean, this guy, he'd never been wrong. He's right. He's convinced that he's right. And, you know, so I that's why I think a lot of people have a problem with religion. Because religion is one of those absolutes. And it gets down to the discussion, which, by the way, it says here, Pat Robertson, cheating is natural for men. And I'm looking at Stephanie Miller. Didn't she?
Don't start criticizing her lesbian, not lesbionic.
I'm not. I'm just, and she came out. She sure is a beautiful woman for, well, anyway.
She's a beautiful woman for a lesbian. What a heinous thing to say, Phil.
Yeah, you're saying all lesbians gotta look hanky?
No, I didn't say that at all. Just that Stephanie is, she's fine. All right, now, having said what I just said,
Well, you don't have to be her sugar daddy. She makes a lot of money.
I'm not looking to be anybody's, thank you very much. So anyway, make a long story short, the bad person, or shall we say the psychopath, they're often the one that believes they're right. They're absolutely convinced they're right and everybody else is wrong. So the next time you consider the idea that good people believe that they're doing good things, think again, because I believe that it's quite the opposite. And there you go. I'm Phil Hendry. Thank you, Harvey Wireman, for your needless opinion. And thank you, Ted Bell, for interrupting beaucoup times, Jack, as I was trying to get my thang, you know, unfanged. All right, we'll be back here. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. The story I've been wanting to get to here, Pat Robertson, which we just alluded to. Pat Robertson made some pretty asinine statements, and I'm telling you, some real weird stuff he got said on his show today, yesterday, whenever the hell it was. We'll be back to talk about it. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Bad people often think that they're bad.
Yeah, they think they're badass.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and I'm going to roll some audio. This is Pat Robertson on his 700 Club show, and basically what happened was he, you know, was responding to a letter from someone asking about a husband that's cheating, and wait till you hear the advice this guy, I don't know, maybe some of you guys may think this is cool, but here's the whole segment.
Ivy writes in and says, I've been trying to forgive my husband for cheating on me. We've gone to counseling, but I just can't seem to forgive, nor can I trust. How do you let go of anger, and how do you trust again? God says to forgive, but it's been so hard to do. I want to forgive so we can get on with our lives.
So what do you think?
Well, that's what a good question. You think? I think forgiveness can be one of the most difficult things in the whole wide world to do, and especially when it comes to a spouse, because that's one of the ultimate betrayals.
All right, here's the secret.
Okay.
And this is the secret.
Yeah, thanks for asking her, Susie.
Talking about the cheating. He cheated on you. Well, he's a man. Okay. So what you do is begin to focus on why you married him in the first place, on what he does good. Does he provide a home for you to live in? Does he provide food for you to eat? Does he provide clothes for you to wear? Is he nice to the children? Do you have a happy family? Does he take the kids to sporting events?
No, because he's screwed around on her.
Games?
No.
Does he share with you stuff that's going on?
Stuff that's going on, yeah.
Is he handsome?
Banged a stripper.
Is he, you know, what is it?
Is he handsome?
Start focusing on those things and essentially fall in love with him all over again. And I recommend you reach out and touch him. Touch his face. Touch his face.
His penis.
Hold his hand. Look into his eyes. Talk to him. But it's you, you're praying, oh, God, keep me not to hate him for what he did when he was with that stripper in that hotel room 10 years ago, and I'll never forgive him kind of thing. Please help me. So what are you focusing on? You're focusing on the thing that makes you mad. Stop that. Start focusing on the good stuff. And he must have something good. You wouldn't have married him. So
he
think
did.
About those
and
things.
Then he and had sex with a stripper.
Give him honor.
So that's kind of, we don't have to hear any more of this drivel. That's Pat Robertson. Now, the guy is, Pat Robertson's sort of...
That man should be put in prison for those comments. Not because he deserves prison, but I think that just a year in prison at the hands of a good, strong, sturdy sex offender.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about him getting...
As a bunkmate, I think will open his eyes and a few other things.
Oh, man.
All right, Margaret, we get it.
That is disgusting.
All right. So there's Pat Robertson. Now, this guy, Robertson, has been noted for a number of things. A lot of people like him, and that's okay. You can like the guy, and guess what? He's got a TV show. And guess what else? He's a preacher. So put it all together, and what do you got? You still got just some guy with a pulpit that's running his yap, and you can listen or you don't have to listen. The reason why everybody makes a big deal out of this guy, he says some pretty nutty things, and he says those things so that he can, I think, keep people watching him, but also because he's a guy from a bygone era. Now, this is the same guy who said that the conservative, that the 9/11 attacks and Hurricane Katrina were because of gay people and a non-Christian society. He also predicted the end of the world, and he was wrong. So, you know, the guy is, he ain't much of anything when it comes to predicting things. So he's on this TV show, and he's saying, stop talking about the cheating, because you should focus on the good stuff. In other words, the guy is doling out this advice that's real antiquated stuff, but he's doing it on this national platform, and they're afraid people are going to believe him, and they're going to follow his advice.
Well, and they are going to believe him and follow his advice, don't you think?
I don't think so.
Wait a minute. This guy's Pat Robertson. He's one of the top people that in the whole thing, you know?
Yeah, he's one of the top Christianity people.
He may be one of the top Christianity people. But I don't think Christians today under the age of 112 will listen to this old fool and take anything from him other than, a pat on the ass if they needed it, which is kind of weird.
Well, what would they take? There's no. You're saying no Christian will take this man seriously.
I don't think any Christian under the age of 100, yeah. I think a lot of the old school people sit there and cluck their tongues and go, right on, Pat, you know. And none of them have sex anymore, nor do they cheat on their spouses because their spouses are dead. So they're not cheating on anything other than their right hand. And I'm kidding. The larger point I'm making is true. The guy has no influence. And so I wouldn't sweat the small stuff with Pat Robertson. There's going to be people that are going to say, oh, yeah, I dig that. But they've always dug everything he said. They agree with him about Katrina. They agree with him about 9/11. They agree with him about everything, you know. And then the ones that don't dig him have all the more reason not to. So, you know.
Phil, I think he's a very dangerous man. I think that Pat Robertson cuts the figure of a rather benign, grandfatherly type. The gold tie, the black jacket, the set with the books, it makes him appear as if he is sitting in a very expensive hotel lobby waiting for, I don't know what. What do you think he's waiting for, Bud?
I don't know.
How about a prostitute?
No, not a prostitute. I think he's waiting for the angel of death.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He's waiting on death.
And so to bide his time and to kill time, he gives drooling, imbecilic advice.
Just to anybody that passes by?
To anyone that passes by.
All right, well, that further reinforces what I'm saying.
Which is what?
which is the guy is full of it, has nothing really sound to say. Anybody with any sound thinking, anybody with any, you know, brains is going to think the guy is a mess, and they're not going to listen to him. That's what I'm saying, you know.
Well, I know, but what about the fact he's sitting in an expensive hotel lobby?
What has that got to do with anything, Margaret?
All right, don't yell.
No, I mean, you know, if he's sitting in an expensive hotel lobby and he's drooling along to any stranger that walks by, that further reinforces what I'm saying. He's a blithering idiot. You know, he's a blithering idiot with like a really huge base of television stations and satellite dishes. And yeah, there's going to be some people that take him seriously. But I'm here to tell you, anybody that takes this guy seriously or anybody that agrees with what this guy says needs to visit a psychiatrist soon, like tomorrow morning. That's what I think. Sitting in an expensive hotel lobby.
But he's babbling.
Yes, he's babbling. I agree. But, you know, all right, we're coming back next hour. World famous Phil Henry Show with more on this Lindsay Lohan losing 5 pounds in rehab story. That's a really, why do we want to read that thing?
I don't know, that's the next thing that's coming up.
We'll be back with more Phil Henry Show. I don't care about Lindsay Lohan losing.
Well, I better not say.
Phil Henry.